The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Fionn Davenport is back with me, the travel writer with Lonely Planet, with the ultimate guide to where, Fionn?
München.
Munich. Great city.
Have you been?
I have been to Munich. I was in Munich in 2006 for the World Cup, when the World Cup was on. So we travelled around Europe a bit, myself and my friends, and we finished in Munich, and it was brilliant.
Yeah, I'd be a big fan of Munich. I've been visiting Munich since 1987.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of changes.
God,
since
you're
then.
Old.
I am old. That is true. I am old and almost staring into my pensionable years. Munich is like, obviously Berlin is exciting and post reunification. This is how old I am. I first visited Munich before reunification. But very few cities in Germany are kind of pedestalized like Munich, you know, because it's cultural, it's beautiful, it's Italianate. You know, it's the design of the Altstadt, the city center, the old town is so elegant. And it's also, per capita, by far and away, the wealthiest city in Germany. So all of the main blue chip companies, well, a lot in Bavaria and then up along the Ruhr. But like, yeah, so Bavaria's, or Munich as the capital of Bavaria, just this elegant.
Yeah.
Doyen of culture, and but it also has like quite a history, you know. And I mean, it's beer. Well, Oktoberfest is one of the key reasons so many people travel there in September, despite the name Oktoberfest. It takes place in September, and it has a past, you know, and it has a history. It's not just the crown princes of Bavaria, but also it's where the Nazi Party was founded. It's where Hitler was based, and I think much to its everlasting credit, it shirks none of this. And if you are that way inclined, if you enjoy the history of that, Munich is a great, great city to really learn about, like, the earliest days of the Nazis.
Okay, we'll talk about what to do then and different tours that encompass all those different elements. Easy to get there?
Yeah, I mean, Aer Lingus flies daily from €78 each way. It's 2 hours. It's cinch.
Like any German city, easy to get around once
you're
there.
Yeah, so, look, it's got a brilliant... Although, mind you, we're in the Euros now and all you're hearing is complaints about the public transport system, which kind of flies in the face of that ultimate German efficiency. But any time I've been to Munich, I'm always amazed by that integrated system of buses, trams, and then you have the U-Bahn, which is their subway, and then the S-Bahn, which is their kind of... like commuter rail.
Yeah.
And all integrated. And so there isn't a corner of the city or the outlying areas around the city that isn't reachable by public transport.
And is the complaints from the Euros fans just what, that there's overcrowding on it and things like this? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, it was the same when I was there for the World Cup, there was overcrowding on it as well. But then you can't build a public transport system
just to accommodate
a kind of a population four times bigger than the population of the city.
Yeah.
Because once every decade, something will be on.
No, of course. And but again, it's all about like how we feel about places we visit is all depends on whether it meets or doesn't meet our expectations. And if we expect Germany to be this paragon of, public transport efficiency and it isn't, we're like, what is wrong with this place?
I thought the Germans had this nailed.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think that's absolutely fair. And look, what you want to do is all visits should and must start in the Altstadt, which is the old town. So Marienplatz, which is the one that has the clock tower and the Rathaus, the mayoral, what's it called? The city hall. And it's beautiful. And look, it's got, it's where Bayern Munich, who until this year won whatever it was, 11 leagues in a row, where they go every season to parade the trophy and everyone gathers in Marienplatz as they're on the balcony of the Neue Rathaus. So there's a big Italianate style to Munich and it's best seen in Odeonsplatz, which is not far. And I think it's, for me, I think it's the most beautiful of the squares. It's also, and we're going to touch on the connections to Hitler and the Nazis, but there's an infamous photograph that Hitler made a point of disseminating when he came to power, or certainly when he is of when the call to war came in 1914, and when a war started, is that all the thousands and thousands of men all wearing the same black suit with the little hats in Odeonsplatz kind of going, yes, yes, yes. And they, for some, they could make out Hitler in the middle of this massive crowd.
Okay, yeah.
So they disseminated the photograph. But that's Odeonsplatz, which is a very, very beautiful square. One of the most visited attractions in town is the residence, which was the family home of the Wittelsbach dynasty for 500 years, from 1508 to World War One. And it's an amazing place. Like, things to do. Okay, so, like, there's lots of art museums, and there are kind of experiences, I think, that one should have in Munich.
Yeah.
Okay, so, are you a swimmer?
I know what you're going to say, because we went there,
Did
and it's brilliant.
Go?
The Olympic swimming pool.
Oh, well, actually, no.
Oh, right.
I was going to say
oh,
that.
Oh, sorry.
No, but I am going to say, you should go up to the Olympiastadion.
Okay.
Or Olympia Park.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Where was the swimming option?
The Müllersches Volksbad, which is this, it's like, so German Art Nouveau is called Jugendstil. By the way, I have no German. This is me spoofing a German accent. I have, you know, Danke, bitte schön, you know, Zurich bleiben bitte, and things like that. These are all U-Bahn things that you hear when you're on the U-Bahn. Anyway, but it's called Jugendstil, and it's so the German version of Art Nouveau. And they have, it might be the world's only Art Nouveau public swimming pools. And they're called the Müllersches Volksbad. And they're unbelievably gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they also have, like, there's a Roman steam bath, a Finnish style sauna.
Lovely.
Yeah. So it's got that, it's almost like that Budapest, going to the Szczesny baths in Budapest or something like that. Really, really quite beautiful. You've been to the, if you've been to Munich, you've been to the English Gardens.
Yes.
The English Garden.
Yeah.
So it's one of the world's biggest parks. It's massive.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing. And so, you know, many.
Is that where the nightclub area is? Do you know this part? You know this in Munich, there's like this kind of it's in one of the parks, kind of on the periphery of it, and they've got like all these clubs and nightclubs located just in one spot.
Is,
I can't remember, was it on the edge of the English Garden?
I don't.
Anyway, it's carnage. It's great.
It can be carnage. Isn't that where what's it called? Theresienwiese. Isn't that?
Yes.
Theresienwiese is where the Oktoberfest. So that's kind of where all the carnage happens.
Yeah.
Englischer Garten is much more sedate and elegant and quite beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyway, the English, there's some beautiful churches. Frauenkirche is very nice. Got the onion dome towers.
Yeah.
There's two of them. So here's the thing, like, again, because it's Germany, and so they can take anything and turn it into something else. And so, like, the Bar of Bel Air, which is basically, it's in a shipping container, and they've turned it into this super cool bar. And it's got, like, and it's a restaurant as well, so they've got really good, like, I don't know, like, sometimes I'm kind of like in the on the menu they have like the octopus salad, and you're like, all right,
yeah, very clever.
Yeah,
let's talk about the Olympic Park then.
Altstadt is fine, and the English Gardens are beautiful, and all the rest. But there is so much more to see and experience in Munich, and I think Olympia Park is amazing, and it's definitely one of the nicest parts of the city. So as you know, because I know you're quite the knowledgeable sage on the Olympics, laid out for the 72 Summer Olympic Games. And like the site itself still hosts, it's got the swimming pool, so you can go swimming there, and it's kind of cool.
It's great.
Oh, I think it's amazing.
And it's, I don't know, like 2000, so it's 18 years ago since I was there. It was very cheap to get into the pool.
Yeah.
Like really reasonable.
It's still not expensive.
Like you've got a 50 meter pool, and what's more, they allow you to use the diving
and
boards.
I was going to say that.
It's incredible. Like
I
it's
know.
In almost anywhere else. In Ireland, you can imagine kind of it, like insurance companies kind of head spinning the idea
right.
that people could just walk in off the street and climb up onto an 18 meter platform and bomb dive into a pool.
And bomb dive.
And in Germany, they're just like, yeah, have at it, lads.
Yeah. Have at it. I mean, I'm sure you sign a waiver going into the place, but like it is have at it. And the funniest thing is that including myself, by the way, when I've gone there, not in a year of Sundays would I ever consider diving from the platform,
oh, no.
but I will definitely bomb from the platform.
You're bombing in,
for sure.
The springboards are the hardest, though.
They are.
They are really hard to get the rhythm
right. The rhythm
and then when you get the rhythm wrong, it jumps up when you're on the way down and it just knocks you off. It's
and
great
it bangs
fun.
You and then you can kind of slip off and you can do yourself an injury. So besides the Olympic Village and the, the Olympic facilities. So right next door is the big BMW factory.
Yes.
And so it's, and I remember going there in 87, 88 as a young student, and like all so many Irish at the time, going to try and get summer work at BMW, you know, and yeah, just cleaning out the factory, et cetera, et cetera, like donkey labour. And but now what they've done is they've built BMW Welt or BMW World, which is housed in this huge glass and steel kind of double cone tornado structure. And it's amazing. And it's the size of an aircraft hangar, like, or, you know, and it's a free attraction. So this is it. It's free to get in. And it showcases the very, very best of what BMW are currently, what their current output is.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see all the latest cars and like, look, it's a big branding exercise, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just like, look at our amazing
automobiles. It's still a great experience, regardless of the fact that you're, you know, you're just taking part in their marketing.
Yeah, no, no, for sure. And but you can do things like you can sit on like a powerful BMW motorbike. You can like, and you can have a look at all the new cars, their new e-cars, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of cool. There's four eating options. Now, interestingly enough, there's a footbridge that goes from this aircraft carrier sized thing that brings you to the BMW Museum. Now, again, in another, I think, fairly impressive piece of architecture, this looks like a big, huge silver bowl. And the museum itself is built around this huge spiral walkway. So a bit like an indoor car park, you know, the ones that kind of rotate upwards. And it has like these themed houses that look at the development of BMW's product line. And then they also include sections, motorcycles and motor racing. And so when you look at some of the harebrained schemes, something that seems ultra modern in 1965 quickly looks so out of date three years later. And that is the nature of going way ahead of your time. So there's some kind of, there's some cool, you know, concept developments by BMW. But what they do is that, and again, and part of, I guess it's very much a zeitgeist thing, is that BMW is a pains to point out how committed it is to electric vehicles, sustainability, so on and so forth. So that's a big kind of overriding, it's the kind of the leitmotif of the entire thing.
Okay. Beer, food and Nazis.
So. Yeah, beer, food and Nazis. So the Hofbräuhaus is the most famous beer hall in Germany, maybe, but it's the one that all the tourists go. You buy a mass, like a 1 litre tankard, and it's fine. It's good. I would suggest the Braustuben, the Augustiner beer hall, which is much nicer. It's part of, so, you know, you were mentioned Theresienwiese, which is where the Oktoberfest festival is held. Just a few streets north of here, you've got the Augustiner Brewery, which is the oldest and second largest of Munich's big six. So it's the only one, I think it's the only brewery that still stores its lager in oak barrels. Anyway, but the Augustiner Braustuben is, I think, the best beer hall in town by a mile. Yeah, it's authentic. A lot of Germans will go there, as opposed to like American students on a summer away in Europe in the Hofbräuhaus. So absolutely, I think that's the one I'd recommend. Oktoberfest, I've worked Oktoberfest and I've been to Oktoberfest. It's carnage, but in an organized fashion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, one of the things, if you're going to stick with beer, and back in the Altstadt, is the Weisses Brauhaus. So it's like having a beer, or like a wheat beer, with the traditional veal sausage, you know, the Weisswurst. Do you know this? Have you had the Weisswurst?
Yeah.
The white sausage,
yeah.
So, yeah. So then, and look, you're going to eat well in Munich. One of the things, I'm kind of rushing through it, but I mentioned at the top that obviously Munich has this connection to the Nazis and the war. It's where the Nazi Party was founded. And on the edge of Munich is where Dachau, which is the first of the wasn't a concentration camp, but it's it was a concentration camp. It wasn't a death camp. But that aside, can I just say, it wasn't a death camp in the sense of, you think of Auschwitz, but they still they processed 200,000 inmates and killed 43,000 of them.
Yeah,
so, you know,
a quarter of them.
Yeah, I mean, but, and like one of the things that, this is one for definitely leave the kids at home. This is not for children. This is a sobering, incredibly kind of arresting experience. There are tours that go from Munich. Most people go on the Do It Alone tour, but like, make sure to take your time. Read the panels. Go through the rooms. It's so, even now, 80 years later, it just feels so visceral and real. Yeah. And it happens on the edge of town in this beautiful Gothic little village. Like this really pretty village of Dachau. that you had this camp. And there's some very, very interesting museums dedicated to.
And as you said right at the outset, they don't shirk that
no, they don't.
Aspect of their history at all.
It's really, really well done. And they document, and Munich has they've documented their own, or the city's own central role in the emergence of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis really, really well.
Yeah, no, great city to visit. Munich, that is the ultimate guide. We'll have all of that up online to listen back to you so you can make your notes in advance of your trip. Fionn Davenport, we'll be back at the same time next week. Fionn, thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.